Welcome, my very dear friend, Denise Kester. This is such an honor for me today for you to be here. I love so much your work, your philosophy, everything that you do in the world, and you live it. And that is just so significant in today's world and so needed for you to be an example, not only to your family and your friends, but what you ripple out to the world. It just amazes me. I love it. I really do. And I'm really blessed that you're here today.
Well, thank you. I am blessed to be here. Thank you for wanting to do this and having me here in this beautiful space to chat with you.
That's what we're going to do. We're going to chat. And I'm going to tell our audience, this is Mary Alice, and we're on Global Heart to Heart Radio today. We're here with my dear friend, Denise Kester. And for Denise, doing art is how she expresses her love for our world. And I can vouch for that. I have some of her art. She is doing her soul work. It is how her dreaming earth soul, I love that, how her dreaming earth soul realizes itself. And what she does is a reflection of her heart's experience making itself visible. More than that, her art was a story, has a story, and it has a life of its own. Her art is magical and magical realism. It is possibility. And to quote Denise, the art I create creates me. How would you like to tell us how the art creates you?
That is a good question. It does. There's a real connection that happens when I'm creating art. And it's a conversation that happens. And it has a huge, huge effect on me. And really, the pieces that I create have to make sense to me first before it goes out into the world. Mm-hmm. And so whatever comes through is really an important vision and visual and message for me in particular. And fortunately, with my work, it also has something to say to other people.
Mm-hmm. It certainly does.
So the art I create creates me, mm-hmm. really does. And it has taught me so much. Mm-hmm. It is the one thing, art has never been untruthful to me. It's wow. always told me the truth, no matter what.
And you've been doing it your whole life.
My whole life, pretty much, yeah.
How did you wander into it?
I grew up in a big family, and I was the middle child, so I kind of got lost in there. And didn't have much attention or intention from my family, so mm-hmm. I was kind of on my own. So I loved drawing. And in first grade, I won first place for the best Santa Claus.
Wow, how cool is that?
So because I know that sounds small, but I got attention from that. And praise from the teachers and acknowledgement. And so I thought, whoa, this is pretty cool. I'm just going to keep doing that.
Wow.
And so just having that encouragement when you're a little person, it's huge.
Wow.
You know?
Do you still have that Santa Claus?
No. No. My trick was to use chalk on the beard to make it really white.
You came in talented. And see, now you have three beautiful grandchildren and that you can allow them to be that.
Well, I sure try to. Yes, you know? Absolutely.
I love that. You're really passing that down. Yeah. Where this has brought Denise a few years later is that she has authored a book, Drawing on the Dream and Finding My Way by Art. A book full of artwork and story and the story behind the artwork. And dream work, and it is full of beautiful and amazing illustrations. I love the quotes at the beginning of each chapter. I love your poetry that tells the story of the illustrations. Mm-hmm. And I've never seen artists express poetically the story in the painting the way that you do. But tell us about your book.
Well, I I can tell you maybe why you haven't heard poetry that describes the art like this before, and that is because it is the artwork that's telling the story. I'm the scribe.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to be there and show up and do the writing and try to keep my opinions to myself and let the story be told.
Mm-hmm.
So the artwork is a huge part of my art making experience is the writing that goes with it.
I know, it's incredible how you meld the two together.
Yes. Well, it's the artwork that is telling the story. I think sometimes about people who have written books and they talk about the characters knowing what to say and which way to go, that the characters mm-hmm. kind of take over. And I think that that's true with my artwork, with the characters in my artwork. They have things they want to say. It's my job to let them say it.
And you do it so well.
And they wouldn't leave me alone about this book. They wanted me to do this book. And anytime I had a quiet moment in the 10 years it took for this book to come together, I would say to myself or the whatever that is, I'd say, get to the book. The book needs to happen. I'd be walking on the beach, just minding my own business, you know, and enjoying myself. Get to the book. You must get back to the book. So, you know how life gets in the way. You have to make a living and cook and clean and do all of those things. And so many of those things kept me from getting back to creating the book. So I'm really happy that finally came to fruition.
So am I. So are many people.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it. I love it. And it's just what I wanted to do.
So for those of you who have not had the great pleasure or opportunity to see Denise's book or to have it, you can go to drawingonthedream.com and purchase Denise's book. And you can also get her cards, which we'll talk about in a little while. If you want to get in touch directly with Denise, then you can go to Denise Kester at drawingonthedream.com. Denise is also on Instagram at Denise Kester and on Facebook at Denise Kester Art.
Well, I will also say that you can order my book at any bookstore
mm-hmm.
or Amazon. So the book came about at a time that I was having a very difficult year. Although if I had gone through this year, there might be another book in the future with this year, 2020. Anyway, it was a difficult year, and I started writing about my process with putting this show together. It usually takes me at least a year to get a body of work together for a show. So this was a concentrated effort for an exhibit. And the pieces, I was just doing a lot of struggling to have these pieces come through. And so I was doing the writing, and one thing led to another. And I thought one day, wow, this is really an interesting story. At least it's interesting to me. I'm hoping it might be interesting to somebody else. And so that part of the story came together. And I had that finished for quite a while, but then I thought it needed more. And that's what took me longer to pull together the dream work piece and the other stories that I tell in the book as well.
What's the dream work piece?
Well, just talking about the dream time and the collective unconscious and the bigger picture and mm-hmm. Indra's net mm-hmm. and the connection.
Right.
And, you know, it's just complicated. It goes through a lot of those things. So
do you get much of your inspiration through your dreams or when you're walking or how does that?
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes. My whole business name, Drawing on the Dream,
right.
came because I was doing a lot of dream work. I was in a dream group for, there were six of us who met once a week for almost 18 years.
Wow, so
it was like a marriage, really, with these women, and it was awesome. It was really awesome. And so doing dream work all the time, I would have images that would come up in dreams, and so I would draw them because it helped me understand them better. And I also understood that bringing something from the dream time into this reality, it gave it more potency, and it helped me to really grasp what it was trying to tell me. So drawing on the dream came from my dream work and illustrating my dreams too.
What a great process.
Was.
I've never heard of a dream group. I want to go to one.
Really? Oh, they're everywhere.
I have these, my dreams are like epic stories.
Yeah.
It's like the Mahabharata, you know, they go on and on, and there's all these characters.
I know, that's wonderful. I used to have dreams like that, but I don't have those mm-hmm. epic dreams anymore. And the animal dreams that would come mm-hmm. with animals and bears and rabbits and owls and all of those snakes and all the wonderful animals. Whenever I would have an animal dream, it seemed really important to me.
Mm-hmm, sure.
There is something about when animals come into your dream that you've got to pay attention to that.
Oh, yeah.
And find out more information on that animal. So that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. I would have something show up in my dream, and then I would start doing the research.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what mm-hmm. is, why is this animal keep showing right. up in my dream? What right. is this about?
Mm-hmm.
So it was very important to do that research too. So I learned a lot about the animals in our world and magical animals too.
Right. I know. I like myself, I've always been intrigued with animal medicine and have yeah. studied that, and same thing when I see a certain animal, I rush to my book or you know,
right,
look it
yeah.
up or dream about an animal. I'm always checking it out. I have never drawn it though.
You might try that because yeah. when you bring something, when you're writing it, that's mm-hmm. one little piece, but when you're drawing it,
mm-hmm.
it does something mm-hmm. alchemically in your system mm-hmm. and in your brain, I think.
Sure, it has to.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I love it. Okay. So is there anything in your book you'd like us to know more to highlight? There's so much in there. Like I love the quotes that you have at the beginning of every chapter. I love the your poetry right next to yours. I like this. You know what I love about your book? I can flip to any page and there's something awesome in that one page. I just opened up to She Awakens and Gathers Her Power.
Yeah.
And the art, I could never even begin to describe the artwork to my audience. They will have to see it. I will post mm-hmm. some of it on, with your permission, I'll post some of it on my website.
This is actually a painting on canvas. I printed on canvas and then I painted on top of it. And it's this strong rooted woman coming out of the ground with a phoenix and there's... a lioness holding a baby lion cub, and trees have become her hands, limbs, and water is coming down, and things are being born, and there's a connection through time. There's a lot going on in this piece.
Oh, yes, there is.
Okay, I will read it. She awakens and gathers her powers. She sings herself into being. With her body and soul, she sings the awakening song of self. She sings into being her story. Burying her heart, she creates something new. She sings into being her powers, gathering them from the earth, seeing through all illusion. Listen, listen, hear. Wake up, wake up, or stay asleep. There is no time for indecision.
Yeah, I just flipped through here. I can find anything. Is there one in particular that's your favorite?
Well, you know, what I thought might be kind of interesting is to read to you the contents of the books.
Okay, great. Let's hear it.
Part 1, Such Stuff as Dreams Are Made On, being human, drawing on the dream, beauty and beasts. Part 2, my journal creating during a dark and stormy year. Remember to breathe. My art mirrors how I feel. The way of the worrier. Avoid dance. Breaking through old habits. Staying grounded. Angels and demons. Her words fly to the refuge. Awaken and gather. Time is not on my side. She comes walking. Strong enough. Exhibit. After the deadline, the journey's end. Part 3. Let me explain. No, let me sum up. Hope and cheer. A story worth sharing. A wonderful life. No matter what. And then the artwork. That's a list of my contents.
And in the at the end, important things to remember.
Yes.
Which for the you say for the artist, but I think it applies to everyone.
And it's for the creative person,
right?
You know, yeah. And that can be anybody who wants to start a project or do something new, or change a way of being or thinking. Yes, it's really for everybody. But it came about from my years of teaching and coming up with things that I wanted people to think about and know about before they did something creative.
I know. I've been in some of your classes, or your group, kind of class.
Yeah.
Our group gatherings to do art when you talk about this. And I love it because it makes me feel, when you say that, you say, imagine that what you create creates you, and to trust and listen. And one thing I love is forget about the judge. Forget who's judging you, or forget control. And then you say, okay, have at it. And it always frees me to sit there and do whatever comes out.
Yes.
And I don't have to wonder, oh, is this little bead in the right place? Or is this color match that color? Mm. Or is this... I just let it go.
Yeah.
And it always turns out beautiful. And everything I see that's produced by everyone in the group turns out to be beautiful. So it's always a great process. And your talk at the beginning of it encourages everybody to just be free and create whatever comes through them.
Yeah.
The way you do.
Yeah. It's important. That's why there are important things to remember.
Oh, I love that. It's really helpful. I doodle.
And beautifully.
I like when I do to just let it go wherever it's going. And I try to remember that. If I make a mistake, let it create something different. Not what was in my mind, because, you know, we do that in life too. You know, we want something, it's that control issue.
Yeah.
But something better can come of it if we let go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, like... control stops the flow of new information.
Mm-hmm.
When you're trying to control something and you think, well, I've done it this way, I always want to do it this way.
Right.
And when you do that, it keeps new things from coming through. So mm-hmm. It's important to be able to let go of that control with the creative process,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that we can get this new information, which we desperately need right now.
Oh, especially right now.
We need new ways of doing things.
Yes.
And being.
We need a new way of thinking in order to create the new world that's coming before us.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important to get rid of that judge and the critic.
Absolutely.
And to be in the present moment and to really listen the judge and the critic, they're bald-faced liars.
I love that you say that.
And they don't know anything about the creative process. Mm-hmm. They want to keep you safe.
Right.
They want to keep you with what you know. Mm. They don't want to rock the boat. They want to keep you safe and even, and they want to keep you comfortable. Mm-hmm. And it's really important for you to realize that and go, oh, well, that's great. Thank you so much. But you can go now because I want to do this. Right. I need to do this.
Right.
The world needs this.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with perfection. What is perfection?
Right.
Somebody else's idea of something that is perfect. And so all of those things will keep you from your creative process.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to recognize them for what they are and let them go so that we can do our work.
Yes.
Our potential, we have it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to put a sign up in my office. The critics and the judges are bold-faced liars.
That's right. They are.
I love that. Because it is so true, and I never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
But that's the little voices in our head, too.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know? Those are the judges and
yes,
the critics.
I know.
Those we are the... our worst judges and our worst critics.
Oh, aren't we, though?
And that's one of my huge challenges when I'm teaching, because people come with that baggage mm-hmm. when they're trying to do something creative.
Mm.
And I always... praise people for making it to my classes, like, oh, you did it. You got past those judges and critics and you're here.
Right.
And now we can create, now you can do something wonderful.
Leave
see what
home.
Happens. Mm-hmm. Leave them at home. I have actually told a student to, okay, because she could not get past that critic. She could not get past that critic. And I said, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to go outside. I want you to walk around the studio, come back, and leave that critic outside. Leave it outside and come back in. And you're safe here. And we don't need that critic here. Another student was, you know, could not make a mark because she wanted it to be so perfect. She said, every time I expect it to be a Picasso. And you know what I said to her? We already have a Picasso.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't have is you.
Mm-hmm.
So let
sweet.
That Picasso go.
I love it.
And let's have your voice. Let's see what your voice is. Important things to remember.
Yes, very
and
important things.
I am happy to send anybody a copy of the important things to remember. All they have to do is email me, denisekester@drawingonthedream.com.
Great. And they should definitely go to drawingonthedream.com and sign up for your monthly musings.
Yes.
Monthly musings. I love when you send those every month. I wait for them.
Well, I've been sending out postcards during this time of seclusion
yes.
and lockdown because some of it started out, I'm at number 14. I'll be sending out number 14 today, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It began... I was doing a meditation a few weeks ago, and I was at a loss of what am I to do? What am I supposed to do during this time? Because I just didn't have the energy. There's something
yes.
about this time,
it's
and
by
it
design.
Was, it, and it's okay. It's okay. I just was trying to give myself time, and it came to me that I have this wonderful artwork that wants to go out there.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these very old pieces. So the first piece that I sent out was called Earth Healers. And it is from 1992, the year. And the words are from 1992.
And it's pertinent for now. I have it printed
yeah.
right here.
Oh, cool.
I wanted to put it up in my office, so I had printed it out.
Yeah. And so it began with that, and it's just been wonderful to send them, pulling these older images that are so pertinent to what is going on right now.
Yes, yes, and I've enjoyed them. I just jotted down the last few that you sent. Number 8, Mindfully We Care for the Dreamers. And what you say is, you know, mindfully we care for the dreamers, for it is the dreamers who resolutely hold the world together by imagining a future sustained by love.
Yes.
I mean, that's timeless right now.
It's really important with all of this fear and scarcity and that is going around in our world right now, is to come back to who we really are as human beings. Mm-hmm. And that it's so important for me to continue to do my work. And because I want to envision a world that is full of kindness and love and beauty.
Yes.
And I have to do that work.
Yes, you do.
It's really important right now for us to be reminded that that is important. That
I agree with you. That's what my work is doing right now. The music that I'm putting out, mm-hmm. I'm putting out with the intention of carrying a frequency of love.
Yeah.
And joy.
Yeah.
We do. We absolutely. And whether people are listening or not, I'm putting it out over the airwaves.
Yeah. And I've listened and I love it.
I hope it's people been great. Are listening because what it has done for me has been incredible. And I hope that people are getting as much benefit from it as I am.
Yeah.
I put the music on and it doesn't matter. I've had a great time getting music from all genres. Music even I never was aware of. That I'm playing and I find myself dancing and singing, and I've always been one to like sing no matter what I'm doing, yeah. But I'm even more, mm-hmm. and it's great. And it is intentional to raise the frequency of our consciousness at this time. And
it is,
for all time,
yeah.
It is so important right now. Mm-hmm. And that is why I wanted you on my show as well, because I know what your work is up to in the world. And I want that to be shared on my station. I want to get it out as much as I can for you. I know that you work hard to get it out there. I mean, even this, your Art Lifts postcards that are coming out every few days, it's great. The messages, like you said, they're things you did years ago, but the message is still pertinent, very pertinent today. And they are timeless messages. And a lot of what you talk about from your heart. And mm-hmm. I see that and I hear that and feel that in your work. And I know that it definitely is making a huge difference in the world. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your presence, Denise.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks
for saying so.
This is Mary Alice from Global Heart to Heart Radio, and we're with Denise Kester today. You can check out Denise's work at drawingonthedream.com. And if you would like to get in touch with Denise directly, you can at Denise Kester at drawingonthedream.com. Denise can be found on Instagram at Denise Kester or on Facebook at Denise Kester Art. Denise created a piece of art, I don't know how many years ago, called The Puppeteers, which is hanging in my house beautifully. In a spot you cannot miss when you walk in the door, because that's where it wanted to be.
Wants to be seen.
I had it in a different spot, but it just wanted to be. It made it very clear to me that's where it wanted to be. And it's titled The Puppeteers. Would you say it's like a 3D piece?
It is a little bit of a collage shadow box.
Yeah, I love that piece. And what goes with it is the puppeteers cross the thresholds and boundaries of conscious, limited thought. And through their bold intention, they create different realities. They let their imaginative hearts guide their creations. They invite all beings to be part of and to have a say in the vibrant world of their making. What they do is a co-creative adventure, of possibilities. The puppeteers know that the world they create also creates them. What a beautiful piece.
I might have to send out a postcard of that one.
I would. And, you know, I was reading that and I'm like, again, it's timeless and what we need right now. Very beautiful. And make sure you sign up for Denise's monthly musings. I assure you, it is something that you will look forward to seeing every month.
The piece that I did just a week ago is called Thunderbird's Gift. And it's a black and white image of this huge thunderbird with a feminine figure. And inside of the thunderbird, I tend to want to, I love putting, having images inside of images inside of images.
I know. It's wonderful.
I can't help it. It's just what I do.
I get that. I get that too in my doodles. I understand that.
So this is what Thunderbird's Gift has to say. Do you trust me? She asks. Yes, and yes again. Whatever comes, I trust you. Out of the great wide open of not knowing and uncertainty, the Thunderbird appears, opening her heart, allowing her prayers to fall upon my open mind into my hands creating. Her prayers merge with my prayers, and they land where the cranes of peace rest in the meadow of my heart, near the lake of still waters, where the quiet imaginings create ripples of light that catch my attention. A soft lapping as the ripples reach the shore, murmuring, everything's going to be okay.
Everything is going to be okay. Thank you, Denise. Well, I hope you enjoyed our time together with Denise Kester today as much as I did. Denise's art is far too magical to not be seen. So check out her artwork at drawingonthedream.com. And you can also listen to this recording again on the podcast section of globalhearttoheart.com.